And this is, I guess, where it counts. Is to me, that means that we go over things in great detail, but not just the incident itself, whether it's to you or to somebody else, because basically it all began in Washington State. That is, that's where I was living. That's where I grew up as a kid. And that's where I grew up as a young man. And those kinds of images, impulses, and behaviors which ultimately led to the violent behavior, you know, occurred, if you will, in Washington State. That the kind of broad understanding that I'm looking for is going to come, you know, during those years I lived in Washington State. You know, unfortunately, I guess from your standpoint, it was Washington, basically Washington State, where those first crimes, incidences, murders that took place. Well, let's just do one here. I mean, let's start. Obviously, we got to start somewhere. And I think it might, is a long shot, pretty long shot, that you might be able to get something out of it. And some of that so-called tangible evidence that might give some value not only to you, but to others. And maybe a bit of information, even if you don't find anything else, that might be of some value to families. Okay. So we'll do... I understand that at the Issaquah site, which I could describe to you, would describe to you if you want, there were three, remains of three individuals found, two identified and one not, because of the kinds of remains that were found were so few and unidentifiable, okay? What do you want? Where this is? Description of the site first, how to get there. I mean, you just don't make this up. Maybe half a mile, quarter of a mile down this little side road. If you kept on flying all the way down, oh well, Lord knows what the little creatures up there did, what the animals would have done. But I think well, let me start this way. The unidentified remains. This is where I'm a little bit, the presence of the officers down here is a little bit unnerving. Some of the stuff I don't mind talking about, but notes and Adam, but names, I can write it down, or I can whisper it to you, or whatever. I just don't want the police getting any kind of names at this point. Well, can you hear that?
I can hear that.
Okay. I just said that the Hawkins girl's head was severed and taken up the road about 25 to 50 yards and buried in a location about 10 yards west of the road on a rocky hillside. Yeah, but that's not anything you would have found that I know of. If you'd, you would have found, probably would have found the damage to the head. The jaw. But if you'd found that, you would have known who it was. But anyway, I don't know. Is there any reason you asked me that question?
I was moving up the alley. Using a briefcase and some crutches. And a young woman walked down. I saw her round the north end of the block into the alley and stop for a moment and then keep on walking down the alley toward me. And about halfway down the block, I encountered her and asked her to help me carry the briefcase, which she did, and we walked back up the alley, across the street, turned right on the sidewalk, in front of, I think, the fraternity house on the corner. Round the corner to the left, pulling north on 47. Well, midway in the block, there used to be a, you know, one of those parking lots they used to make out of burned down houses in that area. Go to the car. There were some handcuffs there, along with the crowbar. The crowbar. And they handcuffed her and put her in the the passenger side of the car and drove away.
Was she alive or dead?
Oh, no, she was quite... She was unconscious, but she was very much alive. One of the things that makes it a little bit, well, among the things that makes it difficult is that at this point she was quite lucid talking about things. About some... it's funny, but it's odd the kind of things people say under those circumstances. And she said that she thought that she had a Spanish test the next day, and she thought that I had taken her to help tutor me for a Spanish test. Odd thing to say. The long and short of it, I'm going to maybe try to make this get there by degrees. The long and short of it was that I again knocked her unconscious.
Since we've been doing them, and Saturday night we updated it after Versace's murder, and we got 150 calls within the 9 o'clock hour that the show is on. The FBI dispatched teams to South Carolina, to Texas, they didn't pan out. But I'm surprised we haven't caught him. But I know one thing. Of the 475 fugitives I've caught, this guy is probably one of the smartest, the most cunning, the most charming. He knows how to stay ahead of law enforcement, and he is probably one of the most dangerous.
Everything?
They stop everything.
How did they do that?
It's going to get worse.
It's going to get worse?
And tomorrow, the whole world will see how Ohio is.
Tomorrow they'll see?
Yes, they will see my impact.
They will see it tomorrow?
Tomorrow live. Earnest,